The Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Monday, February 8th, 2010. And as I speak, commenting on the space shuttle and the space station, the space station's actually flying overhead right now, and it's just going that way. So nice that they could stop by and visit and be our studio audience today. But it's going to be kind of interesting to see as the shuttle gets closer and closer. You see them flying across the sky. Just before dawn or just after dark, where they're in sun and you're in shadow, and they really stand out, and that's kind of a fun thing to see. All right, our phone lines are open, 866-582-9933. Andrew's in the control room. He's ready to patch you through whenever you call in. Chat room is open. The webcam is running, and we're ready to rock and roll. Obviously, the big news today, Representative John Murtha died, apparently of complications following this gallbladder surgery, which is serious business. He was 77. He was a Democrat. And a major power within the Congress, so his passing is definitely going to be changing the dynamics in the House of Representatives, and may again signal that coming this November, the Democrats may be having a very hard time hanging on to the House of Representatives. The way things are going right now, the electorate always is going to take out their frustrations on the incumbent party, which is really kind of dumb, because a lot of what we're dealing with started with the Republicans in control of the White House and the Congress, but we keep seeming to whipsaw back and forth between them and thinking that's going to make any kind of a difference. I really do think going into this year's elections, it has to be anti-incumbent. Get the old crooks out. Yeah, you're probably going to get new crooks in, but they're not as experienced, and they're going to be less dangerous. And definitely, we need to vote out of Congress everybody who's taking money from Israel, because they are continuing to sell us into the servitude of that foreign government. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later on. Congressman Gottop made what I consider one of the most treasonous and obscene statements regarding the relationship between Israel and the United States. But before we get on to that, let's look at the winter weather. As you probably heard on the news, we are seeing a record winter this year. Now, I'm getting a lot of emails from the global warming cultists saying, well, of course it's snowing. It's winter. It doesn't mean anything. Yes, it does, because all the global warming cultists were saying it was going to be a very mild winter because the Earth is getting warmer. All climate is weather averaged out over a long period of time. The British Met Office said it was going to be a very mild winter. All of the people plugged into the global warming cult were saying it's going to be a mild winter because, after all, the Earth is getting warmer. We can't have harsh winters if the Earth is getting warmer. And here we are with record-setting snowfalls. 300,000 people from Pennsylvania to Virginia are currently without power. Washington, D.C. is effectively shut down from all of the snow they weren't expecting. All of these cities and counties, they probably made the decision to not buy winter equipment this year because they were being told it was going to be a mild winter. So we only need a few snowplows. We only need a little bit of the road salt and so forth and so on. And now they're all caught off guard here. And it's not just in the United States. Heavy snow has paralyzed parts of Bulgaria, Romania. It's disrupted transportation. Highways are shut down. Cars are stranded in the snow. Power outages all over Europe. So once again, the global warming cult blew the call. If they missed how bad this winter was going to be, then they cannot possibly be able to tell you that the world is going to be a quarter of a degree warmer in 40 years if you don't pay them a carbon tax, which is what they're trying to tell you. Now, turning to the other great hoax being perpetrated on the American people, the economy is continuing to slide into depression. Wall Street is doing very well. They've gamed the system so that all the money is flowing to them away from you. Oregon government revenues are still dropping. Oregon is in serious trouble. Ohio fiscal year revenue is off by nearly $100 million. And this kind of underscores a real serious disconnect between the official government unemployment figures and the real state of the economy. Now, we already know that the official government unemployment figure of 9.7% is really only about half of the people who are out of work, because it doesn't include people who have run out of their unemployment benefits. It doesn't include people who have just gotten tired of looking for work and quit. It only includes those people who have just recently lost their jobs and they're collecting unemployment benefits. What it does not account for is that vast numbers of Americans have lost high-paying jobs, and they've had to take a lower-paying job, much lower in some cases, just to make ends meet. But from the point of view of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that's an employed working American. But, of course, if you're earning less money, then you're paying less in taxes. And it's starting to come home to roost at all these various state budgets that are in trouble. Hawaii just got their bonds re-rated as negative by Moody's. California is in trouble. Some of the states are talking bankruptcy. They're running out of money. The only people doing really well are Wall Street. And believe it or not, most of the new job creation is by the federal government itself. Government is expanding. At a time when we are all starving and losing our homes and businesses, government is creating new bureaus, new agencies. They're talking about a brand new climate agency because the old ones are completely discredited. So they're going to rebrand and repackage and say, we have a brand new environmental analysis agency, and you can trust them to tell you the truth. And, of course, they're going to feed you the same crud that we were getting from NOAA and NASA and IPCC and the rest of it. It is an attempt to rebrand and resell. You wait. By next summer, when temperatures are warming up a little bit more, they're going to come back and say, forget all about that harsh winter. Global warming, global warming, global warming. You must pay us a carbon tax. You must pay us a carbon tax. And they're going to come back and try and sell that whole scam all over again. This is why, despite all of the recent exposures and admissions and revelations about phony data at the IPCC and Hadley CRU, that we still have, Prince Charles is out there saying that anybody who doubts global warming is just a denier. They're just a denier. Obama is still out there trying to sell the orthodoxy to all of us because his government, his administration, they need that carbon tax revenue. Without it, they're going to start falling apart real quick. So they're out there to sell you another lie to trick you out of more of your money. By the way, side note on this climate issue. Dr. Phil Jones, the head of the Hadley CRU, the guy who was first exposed as a hoaxer and fraud by the leakage of the ClimateGate emails and computer data, is now doing interviews saying how he's so sad, he's going to kill himself the way Dr. David Kelly did, ignoring the fact that Dr. David Kelly is now pretty much known to have been an assassination. But Phil Jones is out there, he's begging for sympathy. I'm having such a bad time, I'm thinking of killing myself. Do it, Phil. Do us all a favor. I put up that sign from the Wall Street protest saying, jump, you blank. Yeah, forget this crocodile tears and playing for sympathy. You created this mess for yourself, Phil, by lying to the world. You sold your soul to the IPCC, and now you're reaping the punishment for it. Getting back to the economy, residential mortgage delinquency rates are over 10%. So the housing crisis has not gone away. Delinquencies for commercial mortgage-backed securities rose in January. Remember I said we're going to start seeing commercial real estate collapse? It's starting right now. Now, interesting little story coming out of South Carolina. The General Assembly of South Carolina is considering a bill, a state law, that would allow for silver and gold coin to be legal tender within the state. In other words, South Carolina is going to allow an alternative monetary system, whether it's Liberty Dollars or something that they mint within their own state. But they're basically saying we are not going to be dependent on the Federal Reserve notes anymore. If this bill passes, we already know the Federal Reserve Bank is going to be pouring tons of money into South Carolina to defeat this measure. But I think it's very, very telling that the states are beginning to recognize that they're never going to get out of this financial mess as long as they are slaved to the Federal Reserve notes. And you need to remember that the Federal Reserve system was never what the Founding Fathers intended for this country. Article 1, Section 10 said silver and gold coin is the legal money of this country. The original paper notes, the silver certificates and gold certificates, they were claim checks. They weren't the money itself. The money remained the silver and gold. It wasn't until the Federal Reserve came along where they said, presto changeo, the paper is the money now. And you owe us a small handling fee for using it. There, in the Coinage Act in 1792, the penalty for debasing the currency was death. The entire Federal Reserve Board of Directors ought to be heading for the gallows right now. So bravo, South Carolina, and I hope the law passes and is signed into law by the governor. We're going to take a break here. Join us on the air, 866-582-9933. We'll be right back.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the economy this segment here. When the unemployment figures for January came out last week, I pointed out that there seemed to be some kind of a strange disconnect, because the corporate media was reporting that in January, an additional 20,000 jobs were lost, and yet somehow the official U.S. government unemployment figures dropped to 9.7, and pointed out this was self-contradictory. There had to be something funny going on. And more pundits are weighing in and saying, yeah, this doesn't make any sense at all. And it was rather strange to see the corporate media, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, all of them report these mutually self-contradictory facts without even apparently noticing that the two claims could not be reconciled. And so we're back to the situation where, again, the corporate media is simply presenting to you what the government presents to you, whether it makes any sense or not. And it's the reason that we have to be very cautious about accepting anything the government and the corporate media says at face value. Now, a little side note, there's a story running around Washington, D.C. right now that because the Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers have become so unreliable and have been exposed as being verging on fraud, that part of the new austerity move in Washington, D.C., the Bureau of Labor Statistics is going to be shut down, which means there's not going to be any official calculated unemployment figure at the federal level. It'll simply be whatever the White House cares to pronounce, and it's the burden is on you to prove that we're lying this time. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Karen on the line. Aloha, Karen. Welcome to the show. I presume you're here with an update about the national strike.
Hi, I am. We had a good first phone call. We had representatives who are patriots from the states of Arkansas, Arizona, California, Iowa, Maui, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Canada, as well as Oregon, which is where I was calling from. We also, I just have been shopping. Actually, we're on the move here, but I've discovered a way to talk to people that seems to get their interest right off the bat. When I was shopping at the store, I would just say to whoever was next to me, have you heard about the national strike? And they go, no, what is that? And I'd say, well, it's a way to take our power back from the bankers. Check it out at taxfree15.com. And they were like,
yeah, that's definitely the best way to open up any kind of political conversation, is ask them a question and get them engaged mentally. And, yeah, we all need to be doing that. This has to go viral. And as I said before, I don't expect a single national strike is going to have that significant an effect on the federal government. But it is going to send a message to all those foreign investors in our country that we, the American people, cannot be relied on to work and slave our lives away to make good on bad investments in this country. That may encourage these foreign investors to take their money someplace else, and that will bring down the American economic system and the government with it.
Well, we also have some heavy hitters who are joining the board. We've got Tom Cryer from Truth Attack.
Good.
And and Larry Beecraft is also aboard.
Mm-hmm.
Big John Lipscomb is aboard. You're aboard. And
mm-hmm.
On the call, the objective was really to empower people to make this their own fight, so it's not just my voice that people hear over the radio, but
mm-hmm.
take this as far and wide as possible, and we just really, really need to make this strike our own so that when we go out there, we can be passionate about it and just, hey, have you heard about the strike? And then tell me what you think. You know, check out the information. Watch America Freedom to Fascism. So that's my plan, and I'm sticking to it, Mike.
Well, when's the next conference call?
The next conference call is this Saturday, although I want people to stay tuned because it's very possible that I'm going to be adding another one Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific time. I think possibly two times a week would be a real good way to go, because we've just got to get this information out there. We've got a small window of opportunity, and now is the time, especially with the cyber security czar now that they're talking about and shutting down the Internet.
Well, I think they're going to have a real hard time doing that. There's too much commerce that depends on the Internet. If they were to shut it down completely, you'd see a lot of companies go bankrupt overnight. So it's going to be a very, very touchy situation. I know that they just had a tremendous embarrassment in Australia, where they were trying an Internet censorship thing down there, and they were blocking websites like Alex Jones' websites were blocked. I don't know if mine were being blocked or not, but apparently it triggered such an angry uproar from the people of New Zealand and Australia that they basically said, okay, we're going to cancel this and rethink this, and all the websites got turned on again first thing Monday morning. So I think any efforts to try and shut down the Internet are not going to be as successful as they might hope.
Now, according to Alex Jones earlier this morning, he was talking about it is successful, and they have shut them down over there, and they're shutting them down in China as well as Australia, and really amping it up. And the people who were calling in both yesterday and today are agreeing with them. So I don't think that they've opened it up yet, and his sites are being banned.
Well, let me double-check that, but the last I heard was that the Australian government had relented and switched them back on, but I'll double-check that. And if anybody listening to this broadcast is in Australia, please, you know, check Alex Jones' site, see if you can reach them or not, and let me know by email. Thanks a lot.
My husband is saying that they put them back on and said it was a glitch. So I guess we must still need to keep the heat up, though, on them, and to really be careful of what's happening here, too. And what is a czar, anyway? I mean, do you know, Michael, I've forgotten. How many czars do we have now in this country?
We have more czars in this country than they had in Tsarist Russia.
Okay. Well, that's too many.
And all I can say is, remember what happened to the last one.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right.
So the strike is on track, and we'd love to have you join us on the call. Again, the call right now is this Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific. The telephone number is 712-775-7200. That's 712-775-7200. The access code is 431-669-pound. All the information is on taxfree15.com, and you can also listen to the pre-recorded call, because we did record that one last week, and don't be surprised to see one coming up on Wednesday. The site's evolving, it's growing as we evolve and grow, and it's up to each one of us individually to stand for freedom and to help those around us to also wake up and stand with us.
Okay, I've got a question coming from the chat room. They want to know, can Canadians help? Can Canadians join the strike? I would presume yes.
Yes, this is open for everyone to join the strike. It would be wonderful if we as human beings went international, because all of us have been oppressed by these governments. All of us have been stolen from by these bankers. They are always in the background. Now they're rattling the sabers of war, and Michael, I know you and I feel exactly the same about this war. It's a hideous, horrible crime against humanity. We have to stop being cannon fodder, and we have to stand for our freedoms together. And by all means, every single one of us who can needs to be on board this freedom train.
Well, you know, we've got the UN and Wall Street and even Obama screaming about the benefits of a global government. They may wind up with a global revolution on their hands. So, Karen, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to take a commercial break, and please let me know about the Wednesday night conference call. We'll be right back.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about the national strike. And yes, Canadians, please, come on board and get involved, and for those 4 days, just refuse to buy anything from the United States of America. That is something I think that we could spread all over the globe, because the rest of the world does not like the United States of America right now, and it's got nothing to do with our freedoms, most of which have evaporated in the breeze lately. It is because We are going around the world messing with other people's countries, and the people who live in those countries don't like it. When one of the ongoing debates that we have regarding Iran, you know, there's this ersatz protest movement going on in there, which we know is covertly funded by the United States of America. It's a repeat of the 1953 CIA overthrow of the elected government. And they're coming out here saying, no, 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 we want freedom and we want this. And well, listen, if you overthrow the elected government of the country, you're not going to get freedom, because the government you put in will never dare allow elections, because they'll get voted back out of power almost immediately. And, you know, the bottom line is, it's, you know, the U.S. has been interfering in Iran's internal affairs since 1953, if not before. And the Iranian people resent it, just like real Americans deeply resent Israel's interfering in our internal affairs to the extent that they do. It is not something that is well received by any citizen of any country. All right, back to the economy here. Headline story, rash of retirements pushes Social Security to brink. First copy was, Social Security's annual surplus nearly evaporated in 2009 for the first time in 25 years as the recession led hundreds of thousands of workers to retire or claim disability. Now, I have no doubt that the recession has encouraged people who are approaching retirement to go ahead and retire. Can't find any more work. I've got a retirement set up. You know, we've got Social Security. Let's go and do it. But the reality is, what this story is not telling you, what they're spinning you away from, is the fact that right now is when the baby boomers start retiring. Right now, that surge of births that happened right after World War II, now they're hitting retirement age. And it was known there was going to be a huge surge of retirees right about now. So starting in the 1980s, the Social Security Administration raised the Social Security taxes withdrawn from all of your paychecks. And they started piling up the money in Social Security because they knew when we got to this particular time, we were going to see the cash flow in Social Security start to go negative because more people would be claiming benefits than there were taxpayers to pay into it. That was the plan. Then we get the Clinton administration. And he looks over at the Social Security Trust Fund and he sees all this money piled up there and figures, hey, nobody's using that during my term in office. I'm just going to grab it and spend it. And so he did. He basically borrowed it from Social Security and he spent it as general revenues and figured, well, it's somebody else's problem to pay back. And the problem was, during the Clinton years, we were being told it was economic boom times. Everything was wonderful. Well, if the federal government is having to borrow from Social Security during economic good times, under what conditions could those loans ever be paid back? And, of course, the answer is none. Either benefits are going to have to be cut, or Social Security taxes raised again, or a combination of both. And they're talking about a combination of increasing the Social Security taxes and simply saying, I'm sorry, we can't afford to give you the benefits you worked a lifetime to pay for. Golly gee shuckies, it wasn't our fault. Blame the opposition party. And so right now, we're seeing Social Security is going deeply into the red, and they're trying to blame it on the recession, and the recession may be changing the timing of some of the retirements, but it shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody that there was going to be a huge surge in retirements during this particular time, because this is when the baby boomers are coming of retirement age. And they have worked their entire lives through the economic boom times of the post-war America and the high-tech boom and all those other booms. They've been paying into Social Security. Now is when they're supposed to be getting it back, and it's looking like they won't. It's looking like they won't. Now, as the U.S. economic power declines, maybe one of the reasons why it's flexing its military muscle all over the place, when Japan went into their major economic decline, their ability to influence the rest of the world also went into decline. It takes money to go out and affect change in other countries, other markets, advertising campaigns, even the ad campaigns for tourism are going to suffer. As debt accumulates more rapidly than income, Japan's influence around the world eroded and declined. And the same thing is happening to the United States. We may be called the world's remaining superpower because we have enough atomic weapons to destroy the rest of the planet. But our ability to peacefully influence events around the world is already in decline because we don't have the financial clout anymore. We owe too many other countries too much money. They have the clout over us. And that's another strategic failing by the U.S. federal government. Now, a couple of stories came in here today, and in one of them, they were talking about how this scientific article that had linked vaccines to autism was withdrawn from a science journal, and the vaccine companies have been waving this all over the planet as proof that their vaccines are completely harmless. Now, we're hearing from Generation Rescue, which is Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey's organization, that they are seeing evidence where scientific articles that do, in fact, show a link between autism and vaccines are being actively suppressed, that people are being threatened, they're being bought out, they're being bribed, that the lobbyists are approaching the media to say you don't want to run this or that story. And the reasoning, I think, is pretty self-evident. We're dealing with a corporate entity that, with the collusion of the World Health Organization, arranged for a swine flu scare last year in order to sell billions and billions of dollars worth of vaccines that we really didn't need. That's the new path to money in the medical industry, is selling medicine to people who are already well. And a lot of it doesn't even work. We had that journal, that article in the British Medical Journal, that Tamiflu does not actually do anything, that you're going to get just as much benefit squirting water up your nose. So you've got the vaccine companies are taking a major hit, because now that the swine flu has been revealed as a PR stunt, and it's been revealed that the World Health Organization changed the definitions of pandemic so that they could call it a pandemic and stimulate demand for the product. This same organization is now realizing that if there is any more further momentum on the link between some of their vaccine products and autism, that that is going to absolutely destroy the marketability of the remaining vaccines they have. And so I am not at all surprised to be hearing stories where the vaccine industry is exerting all the political and financial muscle that it has to suppress, withdraw, shout down any and all articles, any and all scientific research that might show that there is an issue with the vaccines. And again, look at how much money was spent on the global warming hoax to shout down and discredit and attack critics of the global warming cult. We saw it in the ClimateGate mails. This sort of collusion goes on. And there's no reason to assume that this kind of behavior was confined to the global warming cult. Whenever there is a huge amount of money driving the science, you're going to see this kind of corruption and behavior. We're in contact right now with Jenny McCarthy's group. We're trying to get a representative to come on the show because I want to talk about this a lot. This issue of being sold chemicals that really aren't good for you by scaring you into it, this is one of the major scandals of our time. And whether it's carbon taxes or vaccines or whatever, Y2K, killer bees, it's just one horrific hoax after the other after the other. And it's all to make money from you, and I think it's time we took a closer look at that. Speaking of hoaxes to scare you into something, we're, Undersecretary for Management of the State Department, Patrick F. Kennedy, told Congress that the State Department wanted to revoke the visa of the crotch bomber, Umar Farouk Abdel Muttalib. I messed that up. I apologize. The crotch bomber. They wanted to revoke his visa. And U.S. intelligence agencies insisted that the crotch bomber be allowed to keep his visa, that he be allowed into the country. This was a setup and a fraud right from the get-go. What's the purpose? Well, it's to sell you, at taxpayer expense, naked scanners at the airport so the child porn fanatics don't have to pay for it anymore. We'll be right back.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic. panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Before we get to the phone lines, got an email here saying, hi, Michael. I'm about 100 kilometers south of Sydney, and I can get all three Alex Jones websites, no problem. I haven't noticed anything out of the ordinary. I'll be sure and let you know if there are any changes and so forth and so on. So apparently, if there was a blockage on all three of the Alex Jones websites, it has been removed, and they are visible in Australia right now. So good. You know, I can't keep a good webmaster down. That's my motto here. And Alex has got so much wonderful stuff on his site and definitely needs to get out there. And if it is true that there was this huge public outcry, I think that's going to send a signal to the powers that imagine they are that censoring the net is not going to be the slam dunk that they thought it was going to be. And again, the same historical pattern when Gutenberg invented movable type printing and books became affordable to all, every effort by the church or the civil government to shut it down and say no more, then the public got angrier and angrier. And because once the public knows there's a means to get the information they need, they're not going to tolerate having it shut off all of a sudden. It's like being blind your entire life, and then all of a sudden you can see. How angry are you going to be if somebody says, we're sorry, we have to turn your eyes off tomorrow for the sake of national security? I think most people would kick up a really, really huge fuss. Thomas Jefferson said, the highest duty of any citizen is to keep themselves fully informed so that they can make good choices. You don't get fully informed watching the TV networks. You get fully informed by getting on the Internet and going out and finding your own facts and doing your own research and trusting yourself to be the best possible analyst that you should be paying attention to. We're going to go to the phones. Mike in Georgia. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, a couple of things. I want to make a couple of comments, then I had a question on history. With regards to the strike, I just kind of wanted to point out to people, I said before that this is mob in action. And I highly approve of this because I don't believe there is any political solution to this corruption.
I agree.
I think that mob rule, which is basically populist rule, and that's self-rule, and we're going to have mob pacifism. And this has worked before. I lived by some people that made this work. They used a different function in order to cooperate with each other, and that was the Amish. And they made excellent neighbors, and, you know, they took care of this problem, and, you know, they're being more intruded on again now, but they did this for a long time without, you know, the government functioning for them.
Well, they had a good, solid moral foundation, and when basically they lived in these small towns where everybody knew everybody, you didn't have anonymity to hide yourself behind. If you were doing something that the rest of the community might not approve of, everybody knew about it. I grew up in a town like that in New Hampshire. And you just didn't do anything wrong because everybody was going to find out about it. Well, you know, the downside of living in a really huge city is everybody's anonymous. You can travel a couple of blocks and nobody knows who you are, and you can do whatever you want. You can, you know, go into the adult movie theaters. You can, you know, harass people on the street. You can rob. You can mug. You can whatever. And nobody knows who you are. They'll give a description to the police, and the police say, okay, there's the description. And that's it. That's the reason why around the cities, only one out of every 33 crimes results in an arrest. That's the reality of the situation. But the only reason to have large cities is to create a large hive or herd of humans to harvest money and work product from. And ultimately, it creates its own set of environmental problems. If the human population were spread uniformly across the planet, there'd be plenty of living room and resources for everybody. All cities are human ranches that serve the economic interests of the people at the very, very top. Everybody's close in. We can go out and count and tax them conveniently that way.
Unless things have changed, they had resolved the autism problem for themselves, too. Last time I heard about it.
Okay, well, apparently some Amish got talked into vaccinating their kids, and sure enough, they started getting autism. But the
I wasn't
ones
aware
who,
of that.
I was in a debate with nurse practitioner was the exact title, and she found some stuff on the internet that said that some of the Amish were starting to be vaccinated and they were starting to show up with autism. And I said that doesn't change away from the fact that the Amish people who avoid vaccination don't get autism. But like I said earlier in the show, the vaccine companies, there is so much money on the line. And we saw what kind of a swindle they pulled with the swine flu. They even corrupted the head of the World Health Organization on that one. The European Union is starting criminal investigation against the whole batch of them. And, of course, they're going to do everything they can to keep their profitability up, because here in the United States of America, profit is the God that we worship above all others. And no sacrifice is too great to appease that particular deity.
Kind of out of left field here, I'd like to throw a history question at you. Jefferson, Louisiana Purchase, they didn't have the money available. Our representatives, the French, hook them up with some banking group in England, and they borrowed the money. Do you know what the terms of that loan were?
No,
I'm going to
take
my answer off air.
I don't know the terms of the loan.
Okay, that's what I was interested in as far as finding out something historical.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll take a look for it after the show, and I'll put it up on the website, but I don't actually have that information to hand.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, you got it. Thanks an awful lot. By golly, it is possible to stump the radio host with these questions. All right, now this last couple of days, we have been watching Sarah Palin, otherwise known as Caribou Barbie, and she is making a move on the Tea Party movement. It's being hijacked by the GOP, and Sarah Palin is sort of presuming that she's going to become the new figurehead and the new spokesperson for the Tea Party. And for those of you who were into the Tea Party at the very, very beginning, be very, very careful, because both political parties have a long history of spotting a populist movement and then moving in on it to use it and convert it into a machine for regular partisan politics. The original Tea Party, as I understood it, was simply a comment about too big government and too much taxation. And it wasn't Republican or Democrat. Now it's being partisanized, if that's a real word. And in that process, it will become discredited. Because anytime you have a political movement that is hijacked by one or the other party, then the other side says, that's just partisanship. You're just playing politics again. The only effective change that we have a chance of achieving in this country is with nonpartisan movements that do not favor one party over the other. Both parties are corrupt, both parties are crooks, and arguing over whose neck gets the shortest rope and the tallest tree is counterproductive. It's like the national strike. We're not striking against just the Republicans. We're not striking just against the Democrats. We're striking against an oppressive, tyrannical system that oppresses us all. So I'm sorry to see this happening to the Tea Party, but that's business as usual, and Sarah Palin is definitely posing and posturing to take a run at the White House in 2012, which is the mechanism to guarantee that we'll get stuck with Obama for another 4 years here. All right, turning over to the Middle East, I mean, things are getting really, really dicey over there. Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman is out there basically saying that Syria must be made to understand that it has to relinquish its demand on the Golan Heights if there's a chance of being peace. For those of you who don't remember, basically Israel invaded Syria. They grabbed the Golan Heights, claiming they needed to own it in order to feel safe. And now they're basically telling Syria, if you want to have peace with Israel, you got to let us keep the Golan Heights. And the problem with that is this is not a one-time only deal. Israel is constantly grabbing a little bit more line, saying we need a security buffer zone. We can't feel safe from all the anti-Semites unless we take another couple of hundred yards of your land here. And then they'll have that buffer zone, and then they'll start putting up settlements in the buffer zone. And then they'll come back and say, well, look, you know, the buffer zone is gone because we've got houses there now. We need a new buffer zone. And they push the line a little bit further. And just over the years, look at the maps. Ever since Israel was declared to be in existence by David Ben-Gurion, Israel has never drawn its own borders. But we look at the borders based on the land around it, Palestine. And you can see in the maps, it is Israel that is the aggressor. They're constantly grabbing other people's land. And at some point, there will be another war. There have been so many already because Israel will not draw its borders. It will not create a constitution. It simply sits there and says, the Bible says that we get all this land, and you're an anti-Semite if you don't go along with us. Now, we're getting word that the Israeli hit squad that assassinated a Hamas commander was using Irish passports. This is a repeat of a scandal from a couple of years ago. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to hour number two of our show here. And just in passing for Mike in Georgia who called, I mean, there's a lot of information about the Louisiana Purchase online. And basically it was that Jefferson felt that they needed to buy the land because otherwise France was going to be a tremendous threat to us on the North American continent. And so they purchased the Louisiana Purchase for $15 million, which they borrowed from Great Britain at 6% annual interest. And it was kind of a philosophical clash for Jefferson because it required a strong central federal government, which Jefferson himself had worked to oppose in the formation of this country. So it's one of those political compromises that one has to do to accomplish what one needs to do. Anyway, going back to the phones, Terry in Virginia. Aloha, Terry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Mike. Very nice to talk to you this evening. I'm one of the people in Virginia that was very interested early on in the campaign for liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one of the people that has been duped by Sarah Palin. This was a very grassroots movement here in Virginia, and mm-hmm. especially in Northern Virginia. And I did everything they asked me to do. I went to, because I was affiliated with the Republican Party at the time, went to my Republican Party organizing meetings and just mm-hmm. put my voice out there and my husband's voice out there, and we went together as a team, thank mm-hmm. God. And we were treated very badly. I even had one man tell me, if your name's not on the list, then you don't belong here. And I just thought, mm-hmm. oh, my gosh, this isn't like an open meeting, and they're inviting the public, and then they're telling us, you don't belong here. But we continued on, and that was in 2006. And in 2007, we attended the Republican straw poll in Crystal City,
mm-hmm.
okay, at where yeah. Ron Paul took the day.
Yes.
Never reported.
Yeah.
Governor Gilmore, former Governor Gilmore, got up and said, thank y'all very much for coming. However, we've already made our choice. And we're all just going like, why did we pay $35 a person to vote if they've already made our choice?
Well, that story was being repeated all across the country. I mean, you know,
uh-huh.
and I liked Ron Paul, and while he was in the running, I supported him. But it was very obvious between the corporate media and the vote fraud and situations like there were the Iowa caucuses, where there was this all kind of this backroom shenanigans going on here.
Sure.
It was very obvious
Absolutely.
That the political establishment did not want Ron Paul to get in there. They're never going to allow anybody in there who has not sold their soul to the military-industrial complex or the terror litigious advertising complex or whatever it's formed itself around to be today. But the bottom line is you're either part of the machine or you're not allowed to play. And unfortunately,
exactly.
Ron Paul, we all wanted him in there, and we learned
Didn't
a
matter.
Real lesson. Yeah, we learned a lesson in real politics.
Experience. You've really got to get out there and get yourself kicked around a while. Or you're not
yeah,
going to understand how this system works.
And, of course, the other object lesson we had was, you know, a year ago where, you know, we voted Barack Obama into office because he was selling us hope and change. And we got exactly the same thing that we would have gotten if we'd voted John McCain into office.
Exactly. And what's interesting about the Virginia straw poll is John
yeah.
McCain got four votes.
Yeah.
He got four. That's it. I mean,
yes.
he wasn't even in the running. This man didn't even exist in December of 2007 when they were choosing
yeah.
candidates. And that's and then all of a sudden, boom, he's the anointed one. It's like, what?
Yes.
And Virginia was pushing Fred Thompson.
Yes.
And it was just amazing to me to watch this nonsense going on. And you know what? And you think you got a say, and you think you can do something.
You
well,
don't. You just push the red button, and then you go home, and you just accept what we're going to do, because after all, you push that
right,
red button.
I've already made the decision.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
a joke.
It really is
but
a joke.
But I did not get discouraged, and I still try and stay involved. So I'm not going to be discouraged, and the best thing I can do is not play the game anymore.
Well, I think we're definitely past playing the game. You know, we had that guy who called in the other day and said, no, you got to get involved in those two parties. And no, we don't. We're past that.
No, I'm past that. Yeah, I'm done.
We're past the Claire Wolf stage.
I was Democratic for years. I was Republican for years. And you know what? They're both the same because they are all controlled by this monster.
Yes.
This monster that you can't even really identify.
Well, it's greed. It's the sickness, the addiction of greed. That's it. These are people who've got more money than any normal human could spend in a lifetime, and it's not enough. They got to have more money from everybody around them, and it just builds this a very addictive behavior. And revolutions can be seen as an intervention when their addiction becomes a threat to the body as a whole, as it is now in the United States of America. It's time for an intervention. And as far as the Republicans and Democrats, it's two faces of the same monster. And I got to tell you, looking at both the Republicans and the Democrats, anarchy is looking very attractive to me right now.
Well, I don't know if I want to go that far.
Well, you know, we tried to have a meeting and sign some petitions, but nobody showed up, so I don't know how much future we got.
We got slammed with snow. It is not a pleasant experience here. I managed to get myself to work for a couple hours today. Oh, my God, the roads are horrendous. And what's fascinating is I've seen the plows driving down my street with their blades up.
With the blades up.
Their blades up.
Okay.
So they're just doing what they're supposed to do, and they're not really plowing the snow. And I'm in the rent business.
That sounds kind of weird. That sounds kind of
weird. I'm in the rent business.
Yeah.
And can't get to the banks. And then they get to the banks, and the banks are closed. And they can't pay the rent. And it's like they're just trying to really aggravate this situation. Just put your blades down, guys.
I don't think there's anything they can do that isn't going to aggravate the situation. You know, it's government. All they know how to do is take money from one person and give it to the other and keep a chunk for the handling fee. Oh, all right. Well, listen, Terry, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. All right. We were talking about the Middle East before the news break here. Hamas is basically following on that situation where Israel hit squad was using Irish passports. And this has happened before. Israel's Mossad agents go to great lengths to acquire passports from other countries that they can use to travel around so that people don't say, oh, he's from Israel. He's probably a Mossad agent. And apparently Israeli spies have been caught using European Union passports. We know there was a big stink about 2 years ago where Israeli agents were caught down in New Zealand trying to acquire passports down there. It's just a big ongoing thing. And the problem is when Israel goes out to do its dirty work and it uses a passport from, let's say, Canada, which they've been caught using that, it creates a situation where wherever they're operating, all of a sudden from that point on, people with Canadian passports are going to be viewed with suspicion because of what Israel has been doing with their fraudulently obtained, fraudulently manufactured passports. And again, it's this complete lack of concern over what happens in the wake of whatever Israel does. They're going to go into a country carrying Irish passports and kill a bunch of people. And then when they leave, when real Irish people show up, they get all this hostile treatment and they say, what the heck did I do? Now, of course, right now, Israel's big issue is the war crimes report, the Goldstone report. They're out there spending a lot of money on advertising. They're spending a lot of money on online shills. They're basically trying to find some way that they can derail the Goldstone report from going to The Hague. Now, in the Security Council, of course, it can be counted on that the United States will veto referring the Goldstone report to The Hague. But under UN rules, the General Assembly could vote to send it directly, bypassing the Security Council. So Israel doesn't have an automatic lock on blocking the war crimes report from going to The Hague. Although Ban Ki-moon seems to be sort of leaning toward Israel's way and saying, ah, it's no big deal, they're just Palestinians or whatever his rationalization for it is. However, remember, there have been other reports of the war crimes already sent to The Hague, to the prosecutor, from various non-government organizations who are legally allowed to make such referrals. So the bottom line is Israel's war crimes are before The Hague right now. It is in The Hague's court. The ball is in The Hague's court. We got to see what they're going to do with it. They may do what's right. They may knuckle under, which would, of course, destroy the credibility of the International Criminal Court at The Hague. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We've got a couple of callers on the line. Before I go to them, though, I want to cover a couple of stories here. We are seeing the pro-Israel neocon clique really start to uncork, as it were, on this issue of a war with Iran. Daniel Pipes has now added his voice, saying that Obama needs a dramatic gesture to save his presidency, and that gesture is, of course, to bomb Iran. We have a video we just put up at whatreallyhappened.com where Israel is saying that they might have to use nuclear weapons against Iran, which is kind of nice because Israel is finally admitting what we have known for going on 10 years, that they have nuclear weapons. They are a nuclear power. They are not these helpless, poor victims at the mercy of the mean old Arab Muslims that surround them. Israel is a nuclear power. They have a clandestine weapons factory underneath the Dimona reactor. Photos of it have been published in the British press. It is not a secret anymore. The reason the U.S. refuses to officially acknowledge that Israel has nuclear weapons is because it means that every penny of U.S. foreign aid, your tax dollars, sent to Israel since 1976 is a criminal act by the U.S. government committed against the taxpayers. It is illegal for the U.S. government to be giving money to Israel as long as Israel has nuclear weapons and refuses to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty or submit to IAEA inspections. Now, speaking of IAEA inspections, the other story that I want to cover before we go back to the phone lines here involves this story coming out of AP, where the headline reads, Iran moves closer to nuke warhead capacity. This is pure war fear mongering. And the copy reads, Iran pressed ahead Monday with plans that will increase its ability to make nuclear weapons as it formally informed the UN Nuclear Agency of its intention to enrich uranium to higher levels. What is really going on here is that Iran has, in accordance with the rules of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, they have informed the IAEA that they're going to start making medical isotopes. It's one of the businesses Iran engages in. They sell medical isotopes around the world. And they have informed the IAEA that they're going to continue and expand this business, which they are allowed to do under the NNPT. There are lots of peaceful uses for radioactive material. If you have compact fluorescent lights in your home, there is a little tiny radioisotope that helps the lamp begin its illumination phase when it's turned on, as one example. Iran is not a nuclear threat to anybody until they enrich the uranium to weapons grade and they put it in a bomb casing. Then they're a nuclear threat. But you know something? Even if Iran has a nuclear bomb, they're not going to attack the United States. Iran hasn't attacked anybody in 200 years. The same cannot be said for the United States or for Israel. And if Iran were to attack the United States has the largest nuclear arsenal in the world and remains the only country psychotic enough to have actually used a nuclear weapon of mass destruction on the civilians of another country. Iran is not a threat to the United States of America. What's going on here is what was going on for Iraq. The U.S. government is trying to lie you into supporting a war to conquer Iran's oil field so that the U.S. government can steal Iran's wealth and try and use it to buy their way out of this financial mess they've created. This is an historic pattern. The U.S. gets into a financial mess. They get out of it with a huge world war. 1904, economic crash, then followed by World War I. 1929, the Great Depression, followed by World War II. Now we're in this monstrous depression from 2007, and look how hard they're trying to sell you a war. And if they succeed in selling you a war, we're going to lose this one. We don't have the money. We don't have the manufacturing capability. They're relying on their wonder weapons, which was the same mistake Adolf Hitler made. The bankers don't care who wins or who loses because both sides go into debt. But I am telling you right now, the main reason I am opposed to World War III is because the U.S. will be the losing side. All right, we're going to go to the phones here. We've got, let's see, we've got John in Indiana. I'm sorry, Iowa. John in Iowa. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just a moment ago, you mentioned something about the Iowa caucuses, dirty business. Can you relate or tell me more about that?
Well, the Iowa caucuses are supposed to be, you know, voted in these various classrooms, and then the totals are supposed to be totaled up in public. But my understanding is during this last year, when Ron Paul was in the running, that there was some kind of a deal where the tally sheets were taken from the individual classrooms at the schools where the caucuses were held, and they were taken into a back room and totaled up, and they came out with the totals, but they wouldn't post the individual tally sheets for a cross-check. And this seems to be a repeat of what we were seeing back when Pat Buchanan was in the Iowa caucuses, and Voters News Service was underreporting his actual numbers by something like 17% across the state. And, of course, that was the defeat that cost him his run at the presidency. That is documented in the book Vote Scam by the Collier Brothers.
Okay.
But there have been, the vote fraud is epidemic in this country.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you need to look at blackboxvoting.org. They probably have got more information on the fun and games at the caucuses. And, of course, that wonderful documentary was on HBO, Hacking Democracy.
Yeah.
You need to see that to understand how completely immune the government is from the will of the people.
Right, but with the Iowa caucuses, the way it works is, like you said, from the classrooms or the churches or wherever they met, they called into the Republican Party headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
So, And when I attended, you'd either raise your hand and say, okay, I'm voting for this guy, or you'd write it depended on the guy running that particular precinct.
Yes.
Or you'd write your choice on a ballot, or they'd have the ballots, a pre-printed ballot for you. So if it wasn't necessarily a voting machine type fraud.
No, yeah, I didn't say it was. Yeah, I didn't say it was, but the way the caucuses are supposed to be run is the individual tallies from the individual rooms were supposed to be posted so that everybody could verify that it is what was recorded in their room, and that way everybody understood that the totals from those sheets would be accurate. My understanding is that during last year, the counting was all done in the back room, and they came out with the totals, which got called into the Republican headquarters, but the individual tally sheets were not available for public inspection. And so nobody really knew. They couldn't double-check and confirm that the numbers called into the Republican headquarters were actually accurate or not.
Right. Yeah, the tallies, the count, the vote count from the precincts, the individual caucus sites,
yes,
they should have been publicly in front of the crowd. Okay, one for Giuliani, one for Thompson, and one for Paul.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah. And that's how it happened at my precinct.
Now, it didn't happen that way at some others, yeah.
Yeah, when they called, now where the problem is where they called down, and like you said, they didn't post, okay, from precincts 29 and county, Polk County, this is the vote. Then you could verify it that way. You're correct on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
One other thing is, it's when you talk about Andrew Jackson killing the Bank of the United States, he didn't kill the first bank. That expired in 1812. He killed the second bank.
He killed the second one. Yeah, okay, you are correct. The first one, the charter simply expired, and Congress did not renew that. We got to let you go. We're at a commercial break. Thank you for the call. We'll be back with Curtis after these words from our sponsors.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. A couple of things before we go back to the phones here. Benjamin Netanyahu is up in Russia trying to convince them to go along with more sanctions against Iran. I was doing a little research during the break here about medical isotope production in Iran. It's not even uranium. when they talk about they're engaging in enrichment, blah, blah, blah. What Iran is enriching are isotopes of molybdenum and technetium and americium, which are medical isotopes, and you can't make bombs out of them. Now, the uranium that Iran is enriching, they're enriching now to, I think it's 17%. Bomb-grade material is 98% or greater. So they're still a long way away from making the bomb. This is another hoax to sell you a war. It's the same lie we had from Iraq. Iraq could be a threat to us. No, Iraq is not a threat to us. Even if Iran had a nuclear weapon, they don't have the missiles to reach the United States of America. And if they were to attack the United States would convert Iran into a giant pool of glowing green glass. If Iran were to attack Israel, Israel would do the same thing. They're now openly admitting they have nuclear weapons and delivery systems. They have two of their Dolphin-class submarines in the Persian Gulf, which are known to be able to fire nuclear-tipped Harpoon missiles, possibly Tomahawks as well. They're sending two more warships, just transited the Suez Canal. They're sending weapons over to threaten Iran. This has nothing to do with anybody's safety and security. Iran has not attacked anybody in 200 years. This is the U.S. and Israel saying, we're going to grab Iran's oil wells and try and pay off the bankers that way. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Curtis in Montana. Aloha, in Minnesota. Aloha, Curtis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. In the U.S. here and in Europe, they're having, very harsh winters, record temperatures and all that.
Yes.
And
worst snow in a century in some parts of the United States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this is flying in the face of, the global warming proponents. And
they've all been exposed as hoaxers and liars. I mean, that was what the software that got leaked from Hadley CRU, they were rigging the software to create the illusion of continued global warming because all of their funding depended on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now the current talk is that now that that's got over, they're refuting it by saying that, as far as I can understand it, because I'm trying to understand these things, I try to study them as best I can. I can't do it all the time, but now it sounds like what they're saying, Mike, is that because Earth is warming, now we're getting greater oscillations in the temperature.
This is another I'm going to cut you off right here, and thank you very much for the phone call. This is another variation on the idea that as the Earth gets warmer, we'll get colder weather. This is not science. It is a plot device from the movie, science fiction movie, The Day After Tomorrow, which I worked on, and in addition to stealing that plot device, which is a science fiction story, there's no scientific basis for it whatsoever. Al Gore also stole our computer animated scenes of Arctic ice breaking away and put that in his so-called documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. Now, temperature is not a spring. It doesn't oscillate. That is a myth coming out of the global warming cultists who are trying to figure some way that they can convince you to pay no attention to the frostbite that you're experiencing this winter, that, you know, the Earth is getting warmer and, you know, you got to pay us carbon tax and you got to do what we tell you. They have invested far too much money and far too much political effort. Everybody who has built their career, either studying or promoting or making money from human-caused global warming, they are looking at the loss of their jobs, the loss of their funding, the loss of their prestige. What we're seeing now, right now, is when Galileo came out and said there are no epicycles, the sun is the center of the solar system, and all the university professors who had built their entire careers on the study and refinement of epicycles were all of a sudden looking at unemployment. They were looking like right bloody fools, and that was where a tremendous amount of the political pressure to silence Galileo and torture him into recanting came from, and we're not above such things now. The Hadley CRU ClimateGate emails prove they were actively conspiring to silence critics who were pointing out that the real world was not conforming to their data. We caught them putting temperature sensors near trash incinerators. We caught them putting temperature sensors in the outflow from building air conditionings. They were manufacturing the data to suit the political agenda. And the political agenda, besides making a lot of money off the carbon tax credits for Al Gore, the agenda was to create the illusion of a global climatic catastrophe requiring a global government to solve. The United Nations is pushing for global government. They had three pillars on which they founded the push. The global swine flu pandemic, that didn't work out. The global warming, that's collapsing around them. And, of course, the global financial crisis. They're trying to figure some way that they can salvage this. Just today, the U.S. government has announced they're forming a whole new agency to study and report on climate change. All they're doing is rebranding and repackaging. NOAA has been discredited because they were fudging the data for global warming. NASA has been discredited because they were fudging their data. IPCC is discredited. Hadley CRU is discredited. Penn State's discredited. So what they're going to do is they're going to build a brand new shiny box and say, these people you can trust. And they're just going to go on regurgitating the same hoaxes and lies to tell us that climate change is all our fault and we must atone by paying taxes. Enough as is enough. These people are raising on a busted flush, and they're just making themselves look more and more stupid. All of you who, with the best of intentions, went along with the global warming cult, you have been had. You have been used. History will tell you that everybody in history who got used or double-crossed or betrayed had it done to them by somebody they trusted. I know you trusted the people who told you the planet was getting warmer. They lied to you. Maybe somebody lied to them. But the bottom line is, look out the window. In North America and in Europe, they are seeing the worst snow in the last 100 years in some cases. The British Met Office believed the hockey stick and announced Britain was going to have a very mild winter. They were wrong. Flat out 100% wrong. And coming in here with nonsensical stories about how warmer climate brings colder weather and oscillating climate, that's just a face save. Everybody's trying to figure out, how can I get out of this without looking like I was part of a criminal conspiracy to defraud the entire planet? So, period, end of story. Right now, the global warming cultists were proven to be just making it up. And again, look back at the history. There's always some alarmist group saying that we're heading into a new ice age, or we're heading into global warming. And it goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and they've all been wrong. This is no different than the Y2K warnings, the killer bee warnings, the bird flu, SARS. It's just constant warning of impending catastrophe in order to draw research grants and sponsorship and media attention. That's all it is. The climate is supposed to change. It always changes. It's either getting hotter or colder in 100,000-year cycles. There's a wonderful video out, a British documentary called The Great Global Warming Hoax. I'm sorry, The Great Global Warming Swindle. They put it all together in an absolutely beautiful package. The sun is the dominant controller of climate on the Earth. And what we humans do is minuscule. But Al Gore and his acolytes are trying to guilt us into bowing to his altar of global warming and throwing a lot of our money into the little collection plates they pass around every tax day. That's what this is about. They can't wave gods at us anymore. They're going to wave global warming, but the end result is the same, deceiving us and tricking us out of our freedoms and out of our money and out of our obedience. We've had enough of that. We're in the 21st century. It's time to find a new way to organize civilization. All right. Okay, moving right along here. Well, that's the end of our segment. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with the last segment of our show today after these words from our sponsors.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Go down in God's
Aloha, America. Welcome back. Last segment of our show today. During the break, I put up a couple of stories that some listeners sent in regarding the Iowa caucuses. One is by Bev Harris, pointing out the very obvious red flags indicating fraud in the caucus process. And the other one was a story from Rents, and I was unaware of this. Apparently, the company contracted to count the totals in the Iowa caucuses is an Israeli company. And that should send up a red flag, because the whole Israeli spy scandal that was unraveling just before 9/11 actually happened involved companies in Israel that were doing all the billing for phone companies in the United States, which gives them access to tracking information, who's calling who. Intelligence agencies call that traffic analysis. They don't have to know what is being said on the phone line. They simply know who is talking to who, and they can build up these maps of associations. And then the second was an Israeli-owned company that had the contract to install phone-tapping equipment on the phone lines for American law enforcement, and it transpired that they had a backdoor into these same systems so that Israeli intelligence could tap any phone in America just by tapping on a few buttons. And so now we're finding out that the company that is contracted to total the Iowa caucuses is also Israeli-owned, and a very, very frightening picture begins to take shape. Now, Representative Mike Pence, Republican of Indiana, he's a senior member of the Republican leadership in the U.S. House of Representatives, in an interview to the Christian Broadcasting Network, basically came out and said that Israel should dictate U.S. policy. Pence was saying Israeli officials should tell the United States government what they want us to do, and we should just support it 100%. Now, if it were any other country that a member of the House of Representatives said that whatever they tell us, we should just do, I think the American people would be upset. Imagine a member of the House of Representatives getting up there and saying, whatever Brazil tells us to do, we should just do it. Or whatever Iran tells us to do, we should just do it. But Mike Pence gets up and says, whatever Israel says, we should just do it. No questions asked, just 100%. I guess he's getting ready to run for president. And he's basically sending the signal that, help me become president, and I'll do whatever Israel wants. I view that as treason. We, the American people, do not elect members of Congress, nor do we pay taxes in order to be sold into the servitude of a foreign government. We have a Congress who, in exchange for campaign donations from pro-Israel lobbies, have sold your young men and women in uniform into the military service on behalf and for the benefit of a foreign nation. We, the American people, are not deriving any benefit from the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq. Israel is. Go back and look through all the newspaper feeds at how Israel was the one cheering us on, invade Iraq. You got to go into Iraq. You got to do it. You're an anti-Semite if you don't. And then more recently, look at all of the news articles where Israel is saying, attack Iraq. Daniel Pipes. The pro-Israel neocons, they're out there saying Obama can only save his presidency if he bombs Iran. They're out there cheering us on. They're using our military to fight a war on behalf of and for the benefit of a foreign nation. This is why the rest of the world hates the United States. We have become Israel's thugs. And so a lot of the global revulsion against Israel is now transferring to us, because we're the protectors. We're the button men. Whatever Israel says gets destroyed, we go in and destroy it. Doesn't matter how many of our young people are going to die in these wars. Whatever Israel wants, Israel gets, according to Representative Mike Pence. If you're in Indiana and you're listening to these words, go to my website, get that article. The headline is, Representative Mike Pence, Israel should dictate U.S. policy. Copy that off and send that to everybody in his district. They need to understand that the man they're voting to represent their interests in Congress is instead representing the interests of a foreign government. He should be voted out of office at the earliest possible opportunity here. All righty. Now, do you remember a while back, we were talking about scaring the people into buying things they maybe don't need, or declaring it to be mandatory, even if you don't really need it. And do you remember a couple of years back, we were told that using a cell phone was, while driving, was causing more accidents. And that the answer to that was we were all told to go out and buy these Bluetooth headsets, which was a boon to the Bluetooth headset manufacturers. And I'll admit, they're nice to have. No question. And I have one and I use it and it's no problem. But now they're finding out that after all these Bluetooth headsets have been sold, that it didn't affect the accident rate at all. They're finding out now that the banning of cell phones in the hand did not reduce accidents. The use of the Bluetooth headsets did not reduce accidents. It was another completely made-up crisis, and we were sold a solution for it. There has been no reduction in car accidents through the use of Bluetooth headsets or in those areas the ban of cell phones. It didn't have any effect at all. All right, we've got one caller before the end of the show, John in Virginia. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Two things. You just said about the Bluetooth. There was also a scare about cancer from the phones. That was another thing that came out. It's something that you've said on your show that I think I listen to a lot of the AM corporate stuff going on, something that you recommended, and I see it happening, and I would encourage people to continue doing it because I think it's having a big impact, is calling these shows and debating these Laura Ingrams, the all of them on this global warming. I heard a bunch of people call up and hit these people because now they're calling it global climate change. You know, now they're changing
yeah.
the words.
So they're covering their bases. If it goes up, we tax you. If it goes down, we tax you. That's
yeah, exactly. But the thing with the people calling up, getting the information from you and others out there, and calling up and saying what they have to say, and let the shield go on and say what they're going to say, it really does have a huge impact out there. And I think people are wising up a lot, and it's really breaking that propaganda grip that these folks have.
I absolutely agree. Now, obviously, the people who are paid to sit on that set and, you know, with their hair on fire and insist they don't smell any smoke, it's not going to change them. But what we're trying to do is shake their confidence, because there's a lot of people on the inside of the propaganda industry and corporate media who are still convinced that if they only spend enough money that they can trick the people of the world into going along with whatever the next war, the next tax is going to be. The more that we call into these shows and yell at them, we know you're lying, the more we're going to shake their confidence. And this has been our strategy to try and forestall a new 9/11. Because if they're planning on blowing up something, for example, at the Olympics, in order to start a war with Iran, and they sit around that meeting table and they say, you know, people, they're not buying the original 9/11. They're not likely to buy this as well. They might know right from the start it's another government fraud. If we can make them doubt, then they'll call it off. And we'll save lives that way, mostly because we'll stop the war. The whole purpose of this show and the website is to prevent World War III. Getting in their face will do it.
Yeah, and the one thing that I've read of my studies of propaganda are that it must be total. And as soon as cracks appear in that and people see, hey, wait, I had the same suspicion, and, yeah, this person got shouted down, then the next day, to call in. And a week later, maybe it's every other call, then the people can see if the next event does come about, which I'm sure is in the process of planning now, because we see it's a path. It's definitely been perfected now. But those little cracks in that propaganda armor is really way more valuable than one person doing it may realize the effect that they're having.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And again, going back to the climate gate, I mean, Al Gore and his people have been presenting all along, IPCC, the science is settled, there is no doubt, nobody doubts what we're doing, and now all of a sudden we're finding out all along, there were a lot of people who doubted. They were simply being hidden from view. And that is the main reason the climate gate fraud has collapsed, was simply the recognition that we were being lied to when they assured us that everybody was in unanimous agreement about it. Now we're finding out people's names were put on the IPCC report without their permission. And so people are getting skeptical, and that is a very good thing. We're out of time, John. Sorry, we didn't have more time for you today. We're going to let you go here. All right, that's it for our Monday show. And again, what John was saying is valid. If we can get in their face, if we can say, we know you're lying, to all the talking heads and everything, we can shatter their confidence. If we can make them doubt, we can make them quit. They'll call off this next false flag. They'll call off maybe even the world war. If they are not convinced, they can fool us. If we make them doubt, we can stop this thing. And that's really what we're trying to do here. All right, we'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central here on the Genesis Communication Network. So until then, stay tuned. Hug your loved ones, drive carefully, and aloha, America.